Thank you, Gene. If you take your Bible tonight and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, I want to talk to you about a mind that glorifies God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I highly recommend the book by Max Lucado, You'll Get Through This. I've probably given away 100, 150 of those books to people who are going through a crisis. In one of the chapters, he tells about a lady that he had known off and on through the years that he saw again one day in a supermarket. He said, I was walking through the produce department, and he said, as I looked at her from her distance, she appeared to be trembling. He said, I walked up beside her and put my hand on her shoulder and said hello to her, and said she was just shaking to the core of her being. And Lucado said, well, how are you doing? She said, well, my life has come to pieces. She said, I've been married for 20 years. I have 3 children, and my husband of 20 years has traded me in on a new model. She said the children are not adjusting. She said, I'm just an emotional wreck. And he said, right there at the lettuce section in the produce department, he said, we just got down together and prayed. And then here's what he said when he got through praying. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. He said, but God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish and don't be naive, but don't despair either, because with God's help, you'll get through this. Then he said, 2 days later, a friend called him. Fine husband and father, he said, I've just been fired. He said, it was my fault. I said some inappropriate things in the workplace. The economy where I live is terrible. The prospects of me getting a job at the age of 57 is very slim. He said, my wife is upset. The kids are confused. And he said, I need some assurance. So here's what Max Lucado said. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. God will use this mess for his good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. How can we have peace in this world as we experience life? The only way to have peace is to know the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tonight I just wanted to consider the importance of our mind as we live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Throughout Philippians, we'll see that Paul talks to us about how we can pray effectively. He also tells us how to live for Christ, how to mature as saints as the Lord Jesus Christ, and much more. But in this particular section, he begins to talk about the mind of the Christian, how we're to control it, and how we're to develop it. For in truth, the mind is what controls us. Now look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul said that we're to stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Then you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. He says, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, being of one accord and one mind. And in verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And finally, in Philippians 3, 16, he says, nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Down in verse 9, Paul says, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Tonight I want us to look at how we can develop a healthy spiritual mind. First of all, what we ponder. When you look in verse 8b in the NIV, he says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. That word think from the Greek New Testament actually means to digest. It means to reflect upon. It means to ponder. The idea is that of focusing our thoughts until those thoughts shape our behavior. And the truth is that what we think is what we become. Our thoughts become our behavior. William Barclay, a Bible scholar, said this, it is a law of life that if a man thinks of something often enough and long enough, he will come to the stage when he cannot stop thinking about it. His thoughts will be quite literally in a groove out of which he cannot jerk them. Now let's notice where we get our thoughts. There are two sources. They're either of God or they are of Satan. There's no in between. You have the unregenerate mind. That's the mind of a person who's never been born again, the person who has never trusted Jesus as Savior and as Lord. We may think of some people where that might be a contradiction, but the truth is we're constantly absorbing information. Now notice the writer of Proverbs said this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, a perverse lips, put them far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Proverbs 4, verse 23 through 27. We're more diligent checking our media devices than we are protecting our minds. Now notice something else, how we govern our thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he's saying the choice is ours. God is not going to force his thoughts on us. If you read the Word of God every day and you have your devotion time and you prayerfully study the Word of God, that's storing up information and spiritual guidance for us to meet things that we face in life that day. But he's not going to force those on us. We've got to be disciplined and receive what God wants us to have. Now notice the things that are true. Truth is really hard to find in the 21st century. If you don't believe it, just watch television and some of the political shows. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be beat with a stick than to have to listen to the debates that have been on television. I was reading the other day about a lawyer, Chris Lehane. He's a Harvard graduate. He specializes in helping high-profile Americans restore their reputations. You're going to recognize one of his clients in just a minute. He said, I'm an expert in opposition research. And he co-authored a book called Masters of Disaster. He said, it's the Ten Commandments of Damage Control. He said, when working on the tarnished image of Empire actor Jussie Smollett in March of 2019, Lehane noted that image repair is now different than it once was because, quote, truth has become a subjective issue these days. And here's what he said. He represents a lot of politicians and the Hollywood stars. He said, what is perceived as wrong by some is perfectly fine with other people. So the standards have disappeared, and the celebrities basically just bide their time until the news cycle shifts its focus to somebody else. He said, when truth is reclassified as subjective, it's anything but truth. God's people are the guardian of truth. Now notice, he says, think on these things, things that are honest. We have a reputation to protect. I was talking to somebody not long ago who's a chronic liar. I had them in my office with a deacon present, and I had everything written out. And I looked at this person and I said, look, a lady called me the other day that I don't know, and this is what you told this lady about me. And he looked at me and says, I would have never said that. I said, well, look, the person who called me, I don't know them. They sought me out. And I said, let me tell you something else that you said. And I had it all written out. And said, absolutely not. I would never say that. I said, the person who called me and told me this, I don't know them. But they called to tell me that you said this about me and what I said. And they sat there and just lied. Ladies and gentlemen, we shouldn't cheat on our income tax. We shouldn't lie to people. That's why we ought to be the best. We ought to give our best to our employer. That's why our family and our friends can depend on us. Paul said, think on these things. I was reading a little study from a neuroscience journal article and said this. Here's what it says. White lies aren't as harmless as we might think. Brain scans of a certain part of our brain, it's a region which responds to unpleasant emotional experiences, showed that the brain becomes more and more desensitized with every lie that we tell. And the researchers noted that the more we lie, the less our brain responds. The article stated, quote, what begins as small acts of dishonesty can escalate into large transgressions. He says, if we're going to protect our mind, we got to think on things that are pure. The Greek word has to do with morality. It means free from impurity, an undefiled mind. I don't have to tell you that Satan will dump in your mind anything that he absolutely can. Why in the world, and I don't like to call it an industry, but pornography now receives over $30 billion in sales every year just among Americans. You'd be surprised at how many quote unquote church going practicing Christians are hooked on pornography. You'd be surprised at how many pastors are hooked on pornography. I like what Tony Evans said. He said, you know, people are interested in organic food now. He said, do you know why we're interested in organic food? He said, because we've been putting all these pesticides on our vegetables. And said, it causes them to grow quicker, the fertilizers they use, and keeps away disease and keeps away insects and grow high quality crops. But he said, we keep accumulating all these chemicals in our bodies. But then you can go to Whole Foods, and there they have food that's organically grown. You can't afford it, but it's organically grown, doesn't have all the pesticides and the Miracle-Gro in it. But he said, I want to tell you this. He made a comparison with our minds. He said, I want you to, the world wants to contaminate your mind with that which is evil and that which is immoral. And he said, what your mind needs to be influenced by is the Word of God. Then he says that we ought to think on the things that are lovely. That word has the idea of being gracious and kind and agreeable with others. We ought to be amicable with other people. Sometimes if I'm walking out of Chick-fil-A and there's, you know, somebody coming, they're close to the door, I'll open the door for them and I'll say, welcome to Chick-fil-A, and I'll hold the door till they go through. Last summer, Delaney and I were in North Carolina where we usually go on vacation. And we like to dine on this little lakefront restaurant. Pastor friend of mine since 1977 or 78 and his wife live about 40 miles where we were. They met us over there. The parking is very limited. It's just two rows of parking, and then people have to start parking out on Highway 64 and all those curves. So we got there real early. We had a reservation. Had a great dinner. We get to see each other once a year. And when we got through, we came outside, and the parking lot was just slammed. People were waiting in line for spaces. We're in two different cars, and we decided we'd talk a little bit in the parking lot, and a woman in an SUV drove up. There's two ladies in the SUV. She rolled down the window, and she looked at me. She said, "Are y'all about ready to leave?" I said, "No, ma'am," and she hadn't seen this. There was a parking space just four spaces down from us that she hadn't seen. I said, "Ma'am, I want to tell you something. I've been looking for you." And I said, "I have saved your parking space right down here if you just come right on down here and park." And she said, "Thank you." I said, "Ma'am, it's just my pleasure." So we went on talking, and then she got out of her SUV, and she said, "Sir," she said, "I really do appreciate this." I said, "Ma'am, I just live to serve others." And she laughed. I was so glad. And we just need to treat people graciously. Then we ought to dwell on things of good report. We ought to listen to things that are of good report and never be a part of listening to gossip. If we become a part of negativism, then we become negative. If we're willing to listen to those who spread rumors and innuendos, then we become like them. I like Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge correctly, but the mouth of the fool pours out foolishness. We're talking about developing a healthy mind, a mind that pleases God and brings to us the peace of God. Paul said in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now notice, if we dwell on these things, what we achieve, what we procure. He says we get knowledge. Look at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received, you heard from me. He said it'll be inspirational. Verse 7. These are Christian principles that must come from above. This is how Jesus wants us to think. Colossians 3:6 says, "Let the word of God dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Well, two kinds of minds. I talked about the unregenerate a while ago. That's the mind of the lost person. That's the one that is not saved. He does not know Christ. Listen to what Isaiah 57:20-21 says about a lost person. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my Lord, to the wicked." And then the unsaved in Psalm 10, verse 4, he says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." When I pastored my first church, there was a man named Maxie. I think his wife was named Betty. He had a really good job, but he suffered from depression. He was probably the most depressed man I've ever known in my whole life. He went to all kind of doctors, neurologists, the whole deal. Finally, he was put in the hospital. And I like to say this is the equivalent of a pacemaker, but that's not what it is. They put an electric device on part of his brain. And then they ran a wire through his chest that was connected to it. And then there was a button right here. And on the days that when he was extremely depressed, he would press that button. And it would stimulate his brain in certain areas so he could function that day. But in his early 40s, he had to retire on disability because he just could not overcome the darkness of depression. What man needs is not a pacemaker for his brain. What he needs is a peacemaker for his brain. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give me unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There is the undeveloped mind, belonging to the Christian. This is what Paul's referring to here. He talks about Christians having a carnal mind, a mind that is controlled by the world. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3:1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ." And James said, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." James 3:15. Remember, we said there are two influences on the mind. There's the influence of the world, and there's the influence of God. And if a Christian has a desire to develop his mind and have a closer walk with the Lord, it begins by submitting our minds to Christ Jesus. That means we ought to watch what we allow to come into our minds. We ought to be careful what comes through our eyes. We ought to be careful about what comes through our ears. I don't know about you, but in the evenings from 7:30 to 8, just to calm my mind, I have to watch Andy and Mayberry. I do. I just got to watch Barney one more time. We've gotten into a bad habit lately. At 8 o'clock, we've been watching The Mountain Men. Have y'all watched The Mountain Men yet? Eustace and his neighbor Preston. Don't do it. You're just wasting your time. And these are people that just live out in the wilderness. They just don't have anything. And then they'll jump. One of them will jump in a plane and fly 300 miles and leave his wife and child for 3 months at a time. So he goes hunting to bring home something to eat. I mean, you can go to Kroger, folks. Life is just not that hard anymore. The wife is home homeschooling and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as we watch all that, I'm thinking, why would anybody want to just live in the wilderness when we have so much around us now? But one thing they don't have is cable TV. And I don't believe any of them have the internet either. And you know what's amazing? They can probably get along without it. Be careful what you're exposed to. And now he says you'll be blessed. He may not be talking about physical blessings. We're talking about an intimate relationship with God. We read about Enoch. What did it say about him? The best thing on his resume is this. And Enoch what? Walked with God. That's the way you want to be known. David said, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul." In Psalm 94, verse 19. Now notice another product of guarding your mind here. Another thing we procure is influence. If you and I are going to develop godly thoughts, part of that influence will come by associating with godly people. Paul said this, Philippians 3:17. He says, "Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible to please God while allowing the world to influence our minds. And when the Bible refers to the world, it refers to people of the world, the unsaved. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:63, "I am a companion of all them that fear you and of them that keep your precepts." And then I want you to notice our practice in verse 9. He says, "Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Our goal in life is to please God. Listen, he accepts us by his grace, not by our works. But I want you to know there's a way that we walk in fellowship with him, pleasing him every single day. Jesus said in John 8:29, "For I do always those things that please the Father." Our goal is to please God in everything we do, with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, I hope you're a person who is goal-oriented. I hope you have financial goals. Some people want financial goals because they're going to want some pleasure, some excitement, the fun and games. I imagine you can find a good deal on a cruise to certain parts of the world right now. And others pursue position and they pursue power. Some people just want to be on the pinnacle of success. They want to be looked up to. Then, of course, there are those who have no goals in life at all, and it just don't matter to them one way or the other. I was reading the other day, Alice in Wonderland, a little excerpt from that. Anybody remember Alice in Wonderland? Okay. One time Alice was looking at Cheshire Cat and said, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? And Cheshire Cat said, that depends on where you want to get to. And Alice said, I don't much care where. Then the cat said, then it doesn't matter which way you go. There's a lot of people that live like that. Can I ask you, do you have a goal this evening? It's your desire to have the mind of Christ and the peace of Christ. Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Verse 9, our gain is the peace of God. He says, and the peace of God will be with you. You know, when our minds are rid of the thoughts of the world, they're replaced by the things Paul refers to in verse 8, and we get a peace that only God can give you. I remember when I collapsed physically, going back and forth for 4 or 5 years to Augusta every week, taking care of my parents that were sick. I remember Dr. Herring coming in, and he said, now look, he said, if you collapse like this again, you're not going to get well in 11 weeks. It's going to take longer. Well, I said, I've always been able to do whatever I want to do as long as I want to do it, as long as you want to do it. Outdo you. He said, well, you can't do that anymore. I said, you know, one thing I want to get back to is to a place where I can't hear my heart beat all the time. You know, up here, I'm just not paying any attention to that. My heart might not even be. I don't know. I got a piece about that. I don't want my thoughts racing. I don't want to be worried about my parents over in Augusta. I don't have the strength to get up and go over there and help them. All I want is peace. I want to tell you something. When you crash and you're flat on your back for that long, it gives you a whole lot of time to do what? Pray. It gives you a whole lot of time to read the Word of God. It gives you a whole lot of time to think on those things that are what? Honest, pure, lovely, and of good report. What we learn is you get higher inspiration. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Then we learn from godly influence that we desire to have the right kind of friends. Iron sharpens iron. I can't tell you how many counseling sessions I've been through with teenagers and adults. And I tell them life is about playmates and playpens. That's it. You're going to become a whole lot like the people you hang out with on a day-to-day basis, and you're going to do a lot of things that those people do as well. What we do, our goal is to please God and our gain as the peace of God. And as Christians, we have a regenerated and renewed mind, so we got to determine that we're going to allow our minds to be developed in a way that pleases God and brings peace to our life. I like what Tony Evans said. He said, everything you do in your life, you do because of your brain. Do you realize nothing else works in this physical body without the brain? I can't tell you how many times I've been called by families to an ICU unit. their family members on life support. The doctors come in and said, there are no brain waves. You're going to need to make a decision. Some docs handle that better than others as far as the way they relate to families, the bedside manner. But Lord, when there's no more brain waves, you can't speak, you can't hear, your bodily functions are shutting down. So that's what Tony Evans is saying. He says, everything you do in your life, you do because your brain, for without your brain, nothing else works. He said, it is the channel that controls your motor functions, your speech, and all the other functions. When your brain dies, nothing else can work. But he said, what the brain is to the body, the mind is to our soul. The spiritual mind has reached the point where he consistently, although not perfectly, appraises, evaluates, or examines things from God's perspective. That's where we want to get and develop in our mind under God's guidance to see what we say, what we think, what we do, how we act, how we invest our resources. We want all that viewed and reviewed from a spiritual mind so that we can live a life that pleases the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We stand right where you are. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.